He was riding loose in the saddle when we first saw him, and he was wearing a gun, which was some unusual for the Springs these days. Out on the range, where a man might have a run-in with a locoed steer or maybe a rattler, most of the boys carried guns, but around town, Sheriff Todd had sort of set up a ruling against it. It was the second time I'd seen him, but he looked some different this morning, and it took me a minute or two to decide what it was made the difference, and then I decided it was partly the gun and partly that look in his eyes. He reined in that yellow horse in front of Green's and hooked one long leg around the saddle horn.
Howdy!
Howdy.
Hatcher was the only one who answered, only the rest of us sort of looked up at him. He dug in his shirt pocket for the makings and started to build a smoke. Nobody said anything, just sort of waiting to see what was on his mind. He had an old carbine and a saddle scabbard, and the scabbard wasn't under his leg, but with the muzzle pointed down and the stock close to his hand. A man riding that away ain't rightly figuring on using a rope on no stock. That rifle would be in the way. But if he was figuring on needing a rifle right quick, it would be a plumb handy way to carry it. When he had his smoke built, he lit it with his left hand, and I got a good glimpse of his eyes, kind of cold and gray, and them looking us over. Nobody here was friendly to him, yet nobody was unfriendly neither. All of us had been around the Springs for years, all but him. He was the Nester from Squaw Rock, and Nesters aren't right popular around Cow Range. However, the times was a-changin', and we all knowed it, so it wasn't like it might have been a few years before when the country was new.
Seen a tall like hombre on a black horse?
He asked the question like maybe it was a formality that he wanted to get over with, and not like he expected an answer.
What sort of man?
It was Hatcher who had started the talking, as if he was riding point for the rest of us.
Maybe 200 pounds, sort of limp in his right leg, maybe. Rides him a black horse, long-gated critter, and he wears 2 guns hanging low.
Where'd you see him?
Ain't never seed him. I seen his sign.
Yanell, who lived overnight a Squaw Rock himself, looked up from under his hat brim and spat into the dust. What he was thinking, we was all thinking. If this Nester read sign that well and trailed the Paiute clean from Squaw Rock, he was no pilgrim. That description fitted the Paiute like a glove, and nobody amongst us had any love for the Paiute. He'd been living in the hills over toward White Hills for the last 6 years, ever since he come back to the country after his trouble. The Paiute had done a bit of horse stealing and rustling from time to time, and we all knowed it, but none of us were right anxious to trail him down. Not that we were afraid, only none of us had ever caught him in the act, so we just left it up to Sheriff Todd, who wanted it that way. This here Nester seemed to have some ideas of his own.
No, Hatcher said. I ain't seen nobody like that. Not lately.
The Nester, his name was Ben Morley, nodded like he'd expected nothing else.
Reckon I'll ride along, he said. Be seeing you.
He swung his leg back over the saddle and kicked his toe into a stirrup. The yellow horse started to walk like it was a signal for something, and we sat there watching him fade out down toward the cottonwoods at the end of the town. Hatcher bit off a hunk of chewing and rolled it in his jaws.
If he meets up with the Paiute, he said, he's asking for trouble.
Yanell spat into the dust.
Reckon he'll handle it, he said dryly. Something tells me the Paiute rustled cows off the wrong hombre.
Wonder what Sheriff Todd'll say, Hatcher wanted to know.
This here Morley now, Yanell said. He sort of looks like a man who could do his own lawing. He's one of them hombres what ain't felt the civilizing influences of Sheriff Todd's star, nor he ain't likely to.
The Nester's yellow horse ambled casually out over the trail toward White Hills. From time to time, Ben Morley paused to study the trail, but from here it was much easier. He knew the look of the big black's track now, and from what was said later, I reckon the Paiute wasn't really expecting no trouble. Me, I was plumb curious. My pappy always did tell me my bump of curiosity was too big for my britches, but after a few minutes, I got up off the porch and walked around to where my steel dust was standing three-legged in the dust. I throwed a leg over him and trailed out after the nester. Maybe I'd been listening too much to the old-timers around telling of cattle drives and engine fighting. You listen to the stories a mite, and you get to honing to see some of them fracases yourself. Now, I knowed the Paiute. Actually, he was only part Paiute, and the rest was some brand of white. But whatever it was, the combination had resulted in pure D poison. That was one reason everybody was plenty willing to accept Sheriff Todd's orders to leave law enforcement to him. I will say he'd done a good job. He'd done a good job until it come to the Paiute. It was understandable about the Paiute. That engine left no more trail than a snake going over a flat rock. And no matter how much we suspected, nobody could ever get any evidence on him. Sheriff Todd had been on his trail a dozen times, but each time he lost it. I knew what Yanell was thinking just as well as if it was me. Anybody who could trail the Paiute plumb from Squaw Creek wasn't likely to holler calf rope for any engine rustler without smoking things up a mite.